there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so this episode is particularly important and powerful. My guests, Rhea and Nadia, are childhood friends from the Chicago area who have created an organization called Safe and Aware, which is focused on teaching safety, self-defense, and confidence to women and youth. Safe and Aware is now a global community that has helped hundreds of survivors of domestic violence, and they welcome youth ambassadors to help spread their mission of creating a safer, more compassionate world. Welcome back, everybody. I'm super excited to introduce you to two young women today who are going to tell us about a really important organization that they started called Safe and Aware. I have Rhea and Nadia. Hi, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for being here. So why don't you introduce yourselves a little bit more? Why don't we start with Nadia? We'll go alphabetically. So how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. Then we'll hear from Rhea, and then you can tell us all about Safe and Aware.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Nadia Rosati. I'm 17 years old right now. I go to school at Fremd High School in Palatine, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, about 40 minutes north of it, or northwest.
And you are a senior, yeah?
I am a senior.
Awesome. How about you, Rhea?
So, hi, my name is Ray McCooney. I'm also a senior at Walter Payton College Prep. It's a high school in Chicago. And yeah, I think I covered it.
So, how do you all know each other?
We met each other in third grade because we went to elementary school together, and then we also went to junior high together, but then in high school, we each branched off.
Went your own separate ways. So tell us a little bit about Safe and Aware, all the way from the beginning, the spark, the inspiration, and exactly what is it that you guys do?
So Safe and Aware, we're a Chicago-based nonprofit, and we started in 2020 as a blog and social media platform. And then later on, 2021, we transitioned to becoming a nonprofit. And so part of our mission, well, I guess our inspiration is that like domestic violence is very pervasive in Asian cultures. It's very normalized. And just like part of my background, I have been doing Taekwondo for the past 10-ish years. And so then I thought that maybe there was a way I could help with the knowledge I have. And there's also like a lot of gender inequity too, which we have a big focus on because we think it's very important. So we just really try to provide a platform for female and youth empowerment and safety and well-being, especially for like teenagers too during these times.
Sure. So Rhea, tell us a little bit more. How did this sort of come about? What was it that the two of you sat together and said, hey, you know, this is really a problem. I think that we should highlight the ways that people can be safe and how important it is to be aware of domestic violence, particularly in different cultures.
So the thing about domestic violence, right? It is a pervasive issue that affects everyone, regardless of race, sexual orientation, identity, and it's something that surfaces in all cultures, right? Yet it's one of the least talked about issues because when people see home, they see it as a place of, you know, like nothing bad can happen. And for Nadia and I, we come from very different backgrounds, right? Like at least different parts in Asia, but we started to kind of see like this normalization of violence and abuse against females, right? Which stems from, like, as Nadia mentioned before, the bigger problem of gender inequity, where women are not necessarily given that many opportunities for education and may not be as financially independent, which we're kind of making them more exposed to being domestically abused or at greater risk of facing violence. And so backgrounds, and also for me personally, having seen domestic violence in my extended family, this is kind of where we got the need to like, okay, we need to start something called Safe and Aware. And throughout these past 4 years, right, we have turned into this global nonprofit where we've helped around 300 domestic survivors globally, in the US and in India. And it's been around a $15,000 effort of giving them sustainability feminine hygiene supplies, right? Which are like these welcome kits. So what Nadia and I envisioned about designing these welcome kits, so is that, so oftentimes when a survivor, and we don't like to call them domestic violence victims, we like to call them domestic violence survivors. So when a survivor leaves like their home of abuse, in order for them to not make such a stir, right, and to evacuate safely, they have to take nothing with them. Maybe just their essentials like state ID, passport, things like that, right? And we found this both to be a problem in the US and India. So what we did was that we created this welcome kit, right? Which was kind of a way for them to start building their life anew. So this welcome kit, it includes like, not just like, you know, feminine hygiene supplies, or maybe like soap, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, things like that, right? But it also contained like, you know, maybe job vouchers, coupons, things where they could start living their life independently. So that was the whole idea behind the name Welcome Kit too. It was like welcoming to them into this new life.
Sure. Welcome them to their new, right, their new life of independence and hopefully being free of domestic violence. But Nadia, so Rhea mentioned that you've helped 300 survivors and the amount of money that's been spent on the kits and all that. How did this go global? How did you raise all of that money?
Partnered with a foundation, the Amazon Make-A-Wish Foundation, as well as, I'm blanking on the name right now. Wait, Rhea, could you?
Partnered with Clean the World Foundation as well. And so with collaboration of both these foundations, they were generously able to sponsor us $15,000.
Wow, that's amazing. And Nadia, how did you identify the survivors that you were able to help? How did they find you?
A lot of it was through collaboration with local organizations and like Rhea mentioned, like those foundations. And also like we've been making a really big effort to push out into our local communities as well. So like we've held some like safety seminars and like workshops in collaboration with local businesses that have been like very supportive of us. And nonprofits, there's one in our area called Sarazin. And we've held some classes there and have collaborated with them with a couple of our events. And we've also like done a bunch of webinars on active shooter violence, women's safety, like even college safety, just to touch on the well-being as well. And those have had attendees from like across the world to like in America, different states, and Asia. And then like we actually have another expo coming up in our community. And we've participated in that expo for the past 2 or 3 years, and those have drawn like really large crowds, over 1,500 attendees. So we've been able to connect with a lot of people through those as well.
Sure. You know, there's this issue of survivors feeling a lot of shame around this and maybe not even being able to reach out to you all to get the help because they're afraid, maybe if they're still living in that dangerous environment. You know, that is part of the problem, is you might have these wonderful things available, but people are afraid to access them because that could then draw the attention of their abuser. This is such sensitive and challenging and painful stuff that you're working with. I'm curious about the piece with the taekwondo and the sort of physical, your own physical ability to protect yourselves. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So as part of our classes, we've also had like these, a segment where we teach people who are participating self-defense moves. So that's like helped with that. And also just like taekwondo, martial arts in general, like when I was younger, I used to be like very shy. So that helped me build confidence. So I also really hope that like through teaching other people like these different techniques, like it's not just like a physical thing. It's also like, you know, you have like the ability to accomplish these things and to protect yourself if like the need arises. And that's also just like really big, like mentally as well, so that you can stay strong, like no matter the situation.
Absolutely. And you really touched upon this. It's a sense of confidence and agency and the ability that you can take care of yourself, that you're worth protecting, right? And all of those things, all of those skills that are taught in self-defense or in Taekwondo and other martial arts. But have you faced any challenges in this work, and what might people learn from you all in how you've developed this program?
Yeah, well, there are primarily two challenges. And I think the first one is probably common to, you know, any domestic violence nonprofit, right? But it's about, you know, where can you find these survivors? And so the way we kind of tackle that, especially as kind of like this grassroots movement, was partnering with, like Nadia said, local organizations, right? We worked with Sarah's, and that's pretty big here in Chicago. And we've also worked with Latina Mujeres en Acción. And we also worked with, in India, the International Crime Prevention Foundation. So that's how we kind of mitigated that challenge of being able to reach survivors. But the second challenge, right, was when we started working with these organizations, we figured out that, we kind of touched on this previously, right? But that stigma internalization, right? A lot of the survivors kind of had these victim blaming attitudes, right? And they minimized the extent of the problem and had a lot of stereotypes of like who experiences abuse, right? So they were thinking like, oh, but this is normal, you know, like this is like how we just communicate with each other, right? And like you said before, it led to self-blame, shame, embarrassment, guilt, you know, low self-esteem. And so the main thing we did to combat that was through like martial arts and self-defense. You teach a move, but then you also talk about, you know, kind of going through this moving away, like, you know, breaking that societal barrier, right? And also finding like your inner self and empowering.
Absolutely. And you both mentioned this cultural issue that unfortunately in some cultures, I think there's probably this sense that they aren't, it's just, this is what's expected of a woman in my culture. And this is how men act. And this is how women act. And maybe this, again, it's generational. So if someone saw this in their own home growing up, they think that this is normal. It's almost like they don't have any good examples of what a healthy relationship looks like, and that love and affection should not be, you know, physically painful, that people should not hurt each other in this way. And I, you know, just breaking that generational cycle and breaking that cultural stigma, unfortunately, for some people might mean walking away from their culture a little bit. And that, I think that that's really scary for people. So I'm so curious, what other resources do you have? Like, is your website different places that people can go to get help if they're in a situation that they need to get out of? So I'm going to ask you in a minute to tell us where people can learn more and follow you on social media. But so your website consists of what resources exactly, Nadia?
So our website, it has like obviously information about us, like what events we've done so people can learn about us. But we've also tried to expand by having this youth ambassadorship program that people can apply for, because we really want to get like a lot more youth involved, especially because me and Rio will be graduating this year.
Sure. So tell me more about that. Youth ambassadors, I think, is a wonderful idea. It's just like taking your concept and then having young people all over the country and all over the world, as you pointed out, sort of using your mission to do this work in their own local community. So someone can reach out to you to become a youth ambassador, and then you give them the tools to do the work.
Yeah, we have an application form that people can fill out if they want to be a youth ambassador. Yeah, it's just like a way, we know a lot of people that like, it's difficult for them, like they have a lot of things they want to get out, or like a voice that they want to be heard, but it's difficult for them to find a platform to get this across. And so we wanted to be able to provide that, because there's so much potential in like the youth in our communities, and like just even like across the country, across the world.
Absolutely. And frankly, if you're giving people the tools and the language and the understanding of the issues, and they see something like this happening in their own community or in their own family, to be able to then help that person to access resources wherever those resources might come from, right? You Safe and Aware can't give you know, money to everyone, to every survivor, but there are resources like this in every community and they have to know how to tap into those. Wow. This is really important work, girls. And as you know, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I'm really, really excited to be able to share this with my audience during that month. And everyone should just understand that this is not okay and that everyone should feel safe in their own homes. And I think it's really important that you've taken this on. It's really not an easy topic. Rhea, can you tell everyone the name of your website, any social media handles, any way that folks can reach out to you and learn more?
Yeah. So our website is safeandaware.blog, and our social media handles on Instagram and TikTok is staysafe_beaware.
Awesome. Well, girls, I am wishing you the best of luck in your college processes. I know that you're going to do incredibly well. Every college campus would be so, so lucky to have you there. Thanks for this important work and raising awareness around this important topic.
Thank you so much for inviting us too. It was a pleasure and an honor to be here.
So good to meet you guys. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.